Hello again there, my friends. Leah Fiore Tracy here once again with Take Me to Eternity, where I try and filter the world and the things coming into the church through the Word of God. Today I'm going to talk about Halloween. I know, not your precious Halloween, but that's what we're talking about today. I want to talk about the history of Halloween and should we as Christians celebrate it from a biblical point of view. The Bible doesn't talk about Halloween. It isn't mentioned anywhere inside those covers. However, it does talk about things that we can rightly apply to our understanding of this so-called holiday. I was listening to a friend on one of his recent videos that he put out. Shout out to Sean Gregory at In Christ Recovery and Apologetics. I have been contemplating this podcast for quite some time. And if you know me, you already know a lot of my feelings about Halloween. But while listening to his video on the Mark of the Beast, I was reminded why I believe what I do about Halloween. Because it's important to not just have a understanding of what you believe, but why you believe it. In his video, he is talking about Christians looking at Christianity as how can I live the same way I have been and still go to heaven? I don't speak against Halloween just because I don't like scary stuff, which I don't. It really is about where your heart lies. Who are you choosing when you choose the things that you do? The question becomes, do you care enough about it, about if you are honoring or dishonoring God in what you're doing? Or would you rather just keep doing something else because you like it? Another point that he was making is that people say, as long as I do X, Y, Z, then I'm okay. Well, I don't believe celebrating Halloween makes you unsaved. That really isn't my question. Sinning after being saved doesn't make me unsaved, but does it mean it's okay? I know people say that celebrating Halloween isn't to dishonor God, but I don't know how you can honor God by partaking in such a worldly holiday. One that was derived, as I believe, from pagan rituals that go directly against what God has spoke to us. When the basis for the holiday is evil, built around rituals that are evil, it isn't something that you can do to honor God. That being said, hopefully, we can establish that celebrating Halloween is, at least, not honoring to God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We're supposed to honor him with our bodies and our lives, so we need to be mindful of what we're doing and projecting to the world as good and right. So at the least, you can't say it honors God when you do it. Does throwing in the name of Jesus like a bandage make it okay? No, it actually is taking the name of the Lord in vain, i.e. using it in a way that doesn't show him due honor and has no value. We're also told to examine everything carefully and hold on to what is good. Romans 12:9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. If we love him, we will hate evil and turn from it, holding on to what is good and pure. Is this good? Is it right? Is it pure? I guess those are the questions that we need to answer. Does it mean if you celebrate it, then you aren't a Christian? Of course not. But who we follow is evident in what we do. We do not earn our salvation, but after we repent and allow Jesus the role in our lives that he deserves, to be our Lord, be our boss, we want to please him and turn, and in turn do the works that he created for us to do before the world was ever even made. I don't celebrate Halloween. I used to. I used to celebrate it big and loud and with all the things, but I don't anymore. And it's not because I think I can't be saved and celebrate it, but because I don't want to dishonor my Lord and Savior. If we can indeed agree that this was pagan worship, at least at the start, then we should be able to agree that it was meant to worship the devil, i.e. pagan gods. And, you know, the imagery and the things that portray the holiday matter. There's a reason that all the things are evil things that are the basis for what you see as symbols of Halloween. Deuteronomy 12:30-31 says, "Beware that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed before you, and that you do not inquire about their gods, saying, 'How do those nations serve their gods, that I also may do it likewise?' You shall not behave thus towards the Lord your God, for every abominable act which the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. For they even burn their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. If you agree with me, great. But if you don't, please bear with me and finish this podcast to the end, so you can at least see where I'm coming from. I know that we're supposed to be out in the world evangelizing and sharing the good news, but that doesn't mean we need to partake of the traditions of pagans to do it. We can find justification to do lots of things that we shouldn't necessarily do. It doesn't make it right. So a question, does it mean you're celebrating it if you hand out pamphlets about God's love on Halloween and hand out candy at the same time? I don't know. It's a question I've been asked. I don't have an answer for. I mean, it seems to be a bit convoluted to me. We aren't supposed to look like the world or be of the world. We are, however, supposed to be in it, shining our light and showing our differentness to the world, the darkness and the lost. So let's get into it. What is Halloween? The history of Halloween reaches back over 2,000 years to Ireland with a Celtic festival called Samhain, though the practices reach farther still, and you'll hear me change the way that I say it because they change the way that they say it. Their different places have a different pronunciation. It's all the same thing, but I think it matters because you're seeing the formation and the changing of it. Wikipedia says Samhain or Samhain or Samhain is a Gaelic festival marking the end of the harvest season and beginning of winter or darker half of the year. In the Northern Hemisphere, it is held on the 1st of November, but with celebrations beginning on the evening of the 31st of October, as the Celtic day began and ended at sunset, which is actually pretty normal for back then. This is about halfway between the autumn equinox and winter solstice. It is one of the four quarter days associated with Gaelic seasonal festivals. Historically, it was widely observed throughout Ireland, Scotland, and the Isle of Man, where it is called Samhain. I'm sure I totally butchered that. A similar festival was held by the Brittonic Celtic people in Wales, Cornwall, and in Brittany. Samhain is believed to have Celtic pagan origins, and some Neolithic passage tombs in Ireland are aligned with the sunrise at the time of Samhain. It is first mentioned in the earliest Irish literature from the 9th century and is associated with many important events in Irish mythology. The early literature says Samhain was marked by great gatherings and feasts, and was when the ancient burial mounds were open, which were seen as portals to the other world. Some of the literature also associates Samhain with bonfires called bone fires, and sacrifices. There's a reason for the bonfires. I'm not going to get into that. They also believed that the god of death would come and gather the souls of those who died, which is actually something that is a parallel or a common thread through different things we're going to hear about. These bonfires were deemed to have protective and cleansing powers, and there were rituals involved in them. Like Beltane, Samhain was a liminal or threshold festival when the boundary between this world and the other world thinned, meaning the Oshi, the spirits or fairies, could come easily into our world. Most scholars see the Oshi as remnants of pagan gods. At Samhain, they were appeased with offerings of food and drink to ensure the people and their livestock survived the winter. The souls of dead kin were also thought to revisit their homes, seeking hospitality, and a place was set at the table for them during a Samhain meal. Mumming and guising were part of the festival from at least the early modern era, whereby people went door to door in costume reciting verses in exchange for food. The costumes may have been a way of imitating and disguising oneself from the Oshi. Divination was also a big part of the festival and often involving nuts and apples. In the 9th century, the church had shifted the date of All Saints' Day to the 1st of November, while the 2nd of November later became All Souls' Day. Over time, it's believed that Samhain and All Saints or All Souls' Day influenced each other and eventually synchronized into the modern Halloween. Folklorists have used the name Samhain to refer to Gaelic Halloween customs up until the 19th century, and we'll hear more about the church in a minute. Calan Gaeaf is the name, I totally butchered that one, of the first day of winter in Wales, observed in the first on the 1st of November. The night before is Nos Galen Gaeaf, or Noson Galen Gaeaf, Spirit Night, when spirits are abroad. Traditionally, people avoid churchyard stiles and crossroads since spirits are thought to gather there. This is widely equated with bonfires, divination, the dead, and apple bobbin, another form of divination. Celtic people would carve turnips and other root vegetables to ward off evil spirits. They would also wear masks to disguise themselves from evil spirits, wearing costumes or animal heads, and dancing around bonfires to celebrate Samhain. We're told over and over again in the Bible not to worship, pray to, honor, or try and contact the dead. God didn't say that you can't, but he did say don't. We see in 1 Samuel 28, Saul goes to a medium and gets her to conjure Samuel. What's funny is that when she actually gets him, she seems absolutely shocked. In this, we see that it's possible to some degree. Yet in Chronicles 10, we see that part of the reason he died was because of contacting the medium, or at least that's what they thought. So that, among other reasons, shows us these practices are not okay with God. It's said over and over again not to have any kind of divination or go to mediums or any of that. Celtic neo-pagans and Wiccans have observed Samhain or something based on it as a religious holiday. Should we also? I mean, does that matter? Does that change anything? There's another aspect, and I would say it's interesting to see Satan's thumbprint on things. There are absolute connections between different pagan rituals and places that had no clue what each other were doing before they started doing it. Different religions and ideologies doing exactly the same terrible things across the world. Another point I need to bring in is worship of goddess Pomona. There's not a whole lot to say on that. Wikipedia doesn't say a lot. Just it knows it's known that there are some small key things. She's the goddess of, I think it was fruit trees, and she is associated with harvesting the fruit trees. She's depicted with apples. There was a festival held around November 1st, and as we know, that starts the evening of October 31st. She was also linked with the change of seasons. The only reason I bring that up is because people bring it up, and it goes along with where they say that they think Halloween comes from. Do you see where I'm going, though? It's suggested due to Romans and Celts living side by side in the areas that are now England, Wales, and France, aspects of the festival of Pomona influenced the Celtic Samhain celebration and led to the eventual forming of modern-day Halloween. Halloween has many fortune-telling traditions involving nuts or apples, which comes from the divination that was being done through these rituals. And I'm not saying apples or nuts are bad. They're not evil. They're God's creation. But do we start to see the connection? You know, there's certain things that we celebrate on Halloween, or people celebrate on Halloween, and traditions that you can see threads going through of where they came from and how they morphed into what they are today. I was listening to my Burning Heart podcast the other day, shout out to Jessie Goss, and she read this, Jeremiah 3:6-10. Then the Lord said to me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what faithless Israel did? She went up on every high hill and under every green tree, and she was a harlot there. I thought, after she has done all these things, she will return to me, but she didn't return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw that for all the adulteries of faithless Israel, I had sent her away and given her a writ of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah didn't fear, but she went and was a harlot also. Because of the lightness of her harlotry, she polluted the land and committed adultery with stones and trees. Yet in spite of all this, her treacherous sister Judah didn't return to me with all her heart, but rather in deception, declares the Lord. When I look at celebrating Halloween, I see it as harlotry. These pagan traditions and rituals were meant to worship the dead, which we're told not to do, part of which was made really clear by saying that no one should practice divination, necromancy, or go to a medium. Leviticus 19:31, do not turn to mediums or spiritists. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. He wants us to go to him. He wants us to rely on him and ask him for the things, and he'll give us what is right for us to have. You know, there's some things that can be done, but they're not for us. They're not supposed to be done. Jesse went on to read 1 Corinthians 8:1-13, it says, now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many little g gods and many little l lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things and we exist for him. From whom are all things, sorry, and we exist for him. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. However, not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worst if we do not eat it, nor the better if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone sees you, who have knowledge, dining in an idol's temple, will not this his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? And through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined, the brother for whose sake Christ died, and so by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it's weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. Wicca, witchcraft, paganism is on a rise right now, and whether people see it or not, it's gaining momentum. And I think that openly doing the things that they do and deeming them okay to other people can help them be caught up in the whirlwind so much easier. We need to be a light and shine God and his goodness and purity to the world, and not reflecting the world back on itself. If we participate in these festivals, are we not at the very least possibly stumbling those in the world who now think it's okay even to a Christian? I believe it goes far beyond this, but at the very least we need to think about those who could be carried off by these pagans because of the nod of approval from people who claim to follow Christ. I know many people don't believe me because they say, well, I don't know anyone who says they're a witch, but Wicca's on the rise, and you probably know somebody who's into Wicca. They just don't say it to you. I know so many people who follow these things, and it is heartbreaking. Ones who say they can be both witch and Christ follower. You can't be both, and we shouldn't promote anything that blatantly dishonors the Lord. You can see that you can send some people to hell. It's not you sending them to hell, but I mean, you can hold their hand as they go there. It literally goes against who we are supposed to be as followers of Jesus. Another verse that Jesse read was 1 Corinthians 10:15 to 23. I speak as to wise men, you judge what I say. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Look at the nation Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices sharers in the altar? What do I mean then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not God. And I do not want you to become sharers in demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? We are not stronger than he, are we? All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify, and we need to edify each other. We really do. Our God is a jealous God, and rightly so. He will not share his glory or honor with any other, and he will not allow someone who says they follow him to sit in idolatry. We get to choose what we're going to allow and say is good or bad, but I really think God made it clear when it comes to partaking in rituals, festivals, or traditions that are meant to honor and glorify demons. I believe some have felt the pulling of the Holy Spirit not to engage in such things, and they went along and had Christians who told them that they're free to do as they pleased, and there was nothing wrong with it. We need to be careful what we endorse, and in turn, where we steer our fellow believers. Psalms 106:28 and 29 says, they joined themselves also to Baal Peor and ate sacrifices offered to the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their deeds, and the plague broke out among them. 33 to 40 says, because they were rebellious against his spirit, he spoke rashly with his lips. They did not destroy the people, as the Lord commanded them, but they mingled with the nations and learned their practices and served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and daughters to the demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with the blood. Thus they became unclean in their practices and played the harlot in their deeds. Therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people, and he abhorred his inheritance. I'm not saying that if you practice Halloween or celebrate Halloween, that you are in turn equally doing the same thing as sacrificing your sons and daughters to a false god. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we need to be careful about what we're doing and not practice the things that pagans practice. You know, we need to be thoughtful, at least pay attention to it. Over and over again, God shows us how he feels about us joining with people who worship other gods. Not that we shouldn't love them, pray for them, and speak light into their lives by telling them that they are wretched sinners in need of a perfect and pure Savior, and that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save their dirty souls from the destruction that they are bringing on themselves. That's what I needed to hear. That's for me, as well as everybody else. Everybody needs to know that. What I'm saying is that we, in being the light, have to reflect God in his ways. We can't reflect the world to them and expect them to see God. God is pure. We should fight to purify ourselves and let Jesus and the Word of the Holy Spirit sanctify us. Part of the process is letting go of all the things that God says aren't healthy, good, or acceptable in our lives. That's the part we are to die to ourselves daily and pick up our cross. We are to put on our new self and let our old self die. We're not supposed to stay the same people. You know, he wants us to have the same personalities, but not the same practices. So now we have talked about Samhain or Samhain. We have talked about the worship of the goddess Pomona, and now I want to talk about another part of how, interestingly, you can see the thumbprint of Satan on different peoples. I want to talk about the Day of the Dead, or Dia de los Muertos. I know that so many believe that this is a godly thing, somehow. Wikipedia, once again, says, the Day of the Dead, or Dia de los Muertos, is a Mexican holiday celebrated in Mexico and elsewhere associated with the Catholic celebrations of All Saints Day and All Souls Day. It's held on, you guessed it, November 1st and 2nd. The multi-day holiday involves family and friends gathering to pray for and to remember friends and family members who have died. It is commonly portrayed as a day of celebrating rather than mourning, though it's largely known that it stems from Aztec celebrations, and the Aztecs were not godly people, though they were spiritual. The holiday is more commonly called Dia de los Muertos outside Mexico, whereas in Spain and most of Latin America, the public holiday and similar traditions are typically held on All Saints Day. The Mexican government under Lázaro Cárdenas attempted to rename the festivity to All Souls Day in an effort to secularize the festivity and distinguish it from the Hispanic Catholic festival. The Dia de Muertos was then promoted throughout the country as a continuity of ancient Aztec festivals celebrating death. Traditions connected with the holiday include building home altars called ofrendas, honoring the deceased using calaveras, Aztec marigolds, and the favorite foods and beverages of the departed, and visiting graves with these gifts. A few things I'd like to note is all of these are very pagan. All of them are very heavily focused on the dead and appeasing them or sacrificing to them. you can slap a Catholic or Christian title on it, but it's still founded in practices that are completely pagan. Leviticus 19:26 says, "You shall not eat anything with the blood, nor practice divination or soothsaying." There's a common thread throughout these belief systems that speaks of contacting the dead, honoring the dead, sacrificing to the dead, divination, and so much more. But we're told not to do these things. So, now on to Wicca. Wicca is a modern pagan religion. Scholars of religion categorize it as both a new religious movement and part of the occultist stream of Western esotericism. Wicca draws upon a diverse set of ancient pagan and 20th century hermetic motifs for its theological structure and ritual practices. Yet notice that it says it's part of the occultist stream of Western esotericism that is much older than the 20th century. Wicca is typically duotheistic, worshiping and or working with a goddess and a god. These are traditionally viewed as the triple goddess and the horned god, while duotheism or bitheism is traditional in Wicca. Broader Wiccan beliefs range from polytheism to pantheism or monism, even to goddess and monotheism. I'm having a hard time with words today. Which is interesting because you see more and more of this in the so-called Christian church that's heavily influenced by the New Age. These people call themselves witches, but then they say they're white witches. They're good witches. Does that change anything? The Bible says that Satan comes as an angel of light in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. But what I am doing, I will continue to do, so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded, just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Wiccan celebrations encompass both cycles of the moon, known as Esbats, and commonly associated with the goddess, which is a female deity, and the cycles of the sun, seasonally based festivals known as Sabbats, and commonly associated with the horned god, which is the male deity. Wicca often involves the ritual practice of magic, though it's not always necessary. They celebrate November Eve, Feast of the Dead, Feast of Apples, Hallows Eve, All Hallows Eve, or Samhain, Savin, Samhain, however you want to say any of them. Possibly the biggest festival of the witch's year, Samhain is a time to remember those who have passed on, celebrate the summer's end, and prepare for winter months ahead. Samhain is now generally considered the witch's new year. It's generally celebrated on October 31st, but some traditions prefer November 1st. It is one of the two quote-unquote spirit nights each year, the other being Beltane. It's a magical interval when the mundane laws of time and space are temporarily suspended and the thin veil between the worlds is lifted, that's what they think. Communicating with ancestors and departed loved ones is easy at this time, for they journey through this world on their way to the Summerlands. It's a time to study the dark mysteries and honor the Dark Mother and the Dark Father, symbolized by the crone and her aged consort. Tradition also teaches that the aid of spirits and guides from the other world was easily enlisted at this time. So in the increasing moonlight of longer nights, Many use this time to hone their psychic and divinatory skills, especially with regard to love and marriage. Originally known as the Feast of the Dead, this Sabbat was celebrated in Celtic countries by leaving food offerings on altars and doorsteps for the wandering dead. Single candles were lit and left in a window to help guide the spirits of ancestors and loved ones home. Extra chairs were set to the table and around the hearth for the unseen guests. Apples were buried along roadsides and paths for spirits who were lost or had no descendants to provide for them. Turnips were hollowed out and carved to look like protective spirits, for this was a night of magic and chaos. The wee folk became very active, pulling pranks on unsuspecting humans. Traveling after dark was not advised. People dressed in white like ghosts wore disguises made of straw or dressed as the opposite gender in order to fool the natural spirit, the nature spirits. I think that's the Eoshi that we were talking about. The Catholic religion has adopted this day as All Saints' Day. Notice it said adopted. Or All Hallows' Eve, celebrating the Eve as All Hallows' Eve or Halloween. It was done in 601 AD when Pope Gregory I issued an edict, which you can actually find this, it's interesting to read, to his missionaries telling them to use the pagan customs and beliefs to try and quote-unquote bring them to Christ. He instructed them if a group of people worshipped a tree, rather than cut it down, he advised them to consecrate it to Christ and allow its continued worship. In this, he said they would stop worshipping the tree and worship Christ. But is this really how it works? That's not how it works. Do we see any hint of this in the Bible? When God again and again and again calls for all the high places to be destroyed, all Asherahs to be cut down. He didn't say consecrate it. He said get rid of it, demolish it. There was ritual sacrifices of livestock and crops, offering to spirits, bonfires called bonfires with divination highly connected. There's a reason that I'm going through all of these. They are all in direct connection to Halloween. This is where it came from. This is why people get so confused and say, oh, I don't know where it came from, because it trickled down through different pagan ideologies, different rituals and traditions, and formed and made its way into what we know as today as Halloween. This is where it came from. This is the point of the things that people do on Halloween, and yet so many Christians insist they can Christianize it. You can't consecrate that which is meant to worship demons, that which is called an abomination, and that which is detested by the Lord. There are some things that just irk me more than others, and the little inklings of God perverted and twisted in other religions just gets under my skin to no end. The horned god in Wicca is a perfect symbol of Satan himself. If you know what the Bible says, it's a perfect depiction. Yet for some reason, they seem to be able to look past it. Because they don't know. I guess it's not for some reason. Is it because it's folly to them, that which is in the Bible? There are so many connections between religions, it just makes my head dizzy. But for now, I'll stick to this topic if I can. Next, the occult. The occult, in the broadest sense, is a category of supernatural beliefs and practices which generally fall outside the scope of religion and science, encompassing such phenomena involving otherworldly agency as mysticism, spirituality, and magic. It can also refer to supernatural ideas like extrasensory perception and parapsychology. The term occult sciences was used in the 16th century to refer to astrology, alchemy, and natural magic, which today are considered pseudosciences. Occultism is often used to categorize such esoteric traditions as spiritualism, theosophy, anthroposophy, the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, and New Age. Satanic adoption of Halloween came when Anton LaVey formed the Church of Satan in 1966 and wrote the quote-unquote Satanic Bible. Within a few years, he wrote it. It is important to note that this was the first organized religion to ever label itself as satanic. And also that if looking at the occult, which is in essence has been around since the fall of man, this too has been around just as long, with the first lies of, did God really say, and you can be just like God? And it's all about you. I mean, it's all about self and what you want. LaVey stipulated 3 holidays for his version of Satanism. The first and most important date is each Satanist's own birthday, because you are the most important. It is, after all, a religion centered on self, so it's understandable that this is the most significant day to a Satanist. The other 2 holidays, I can't say their names, Walpurgisnacht, Valpurgisnacht, I'm not, whatever that language is, which is April 30th, and Halloween, which is October 31st. Both dates were often considered witch holidays in popular culture, and thus they became linked with Satanism. Some say it was a joke as to why LaVey adopted Halloween as a holiday, but I don't think it really matters if someone claiming to worship Satan, and in doing so he worships self, says this is a holiday that we should claim as our own. I really think no matter what, there are deeper underlying issues with that, and that maybe he didn't even realize it. Especially since Satanism was established in the 60s. It doesn't mean that the origins such as occultism and the likes weren't already well established by then. LaVey was known to say, and I quote, "At least Christians let their kids worship Satan one day out of the year," end quote. There are plenty of Satanists that firmly believe it's a day to celebrate Satan or witchcraft, and others who perform witchcraft and such on those days say that it's a day for rituals, and they take it very seriously. Not all of them. There's a lot of them that don't, but some do. Deuteronomy 18:9-14 says, "When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son and daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things, is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for those nations which you shall dispossess, listen to those who practice witchcraft and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do so." When doing my research, I go to many sources. I want to see what the people who believe these different ideologies believe. I look at what Wicca says about Wicca, what Satanism says about Satanism, what's the history and what do these people say. I don't just want to go to Christian sources and live in a little bubble. I want to accurately be able to speak on things and say this is what they believe because this is what they say about themselves. But is the history and what we do, I look at what Wicca says about Wicca, what Satanism says about Satanism, what's the history and what do these people say? But I also go to sources that have historical aspects and ones that agree with me. I try to not mishandle what each person says because I want it to stand on its own, and at least if people hear what I'm saying, for them to not like my conclusion, while being able to agree with the facts that I bring. One of the videos I watched many of them, was an ex-Satanist talking about Halloween and why Christians shouldn't celebrate it. He said some very interesting things, including if he was a pastor and he wanted to do something on Halloween, it would be to show how evil Halloween is and the dark side of it. When we try to say that there are Christian roots, it's not a fair assessment. The roots that are there are Catholic, and what's more, everything that is said is good on this so-called holy day goes against what the Bible says. We're told in Isaiah 5:20-21, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight." In Acts 8:9-24, we hear about the story of Simon the sorcerer, and it shows that occultism and Christianity do not mix, as well as Acts 13:6-11, which says, "When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a magician, a Jewish false prophet whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, butchering words again, the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, 'You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time.' And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand." I mean, that's pretty hardcore. He said he was full of deceit, a fraud, a son of the devil, enemy of all righteousness, and then blinded him. And people say what I say is mean. Though I'm sure we knew that from the things like Exodus 22:18 that says you shall not permit a sorceress to live, Leviticus 19:31, which I read previously, Leviticus 26 and 20:27, which speak of them being put to death or cutting off any who seek them. In Acts 16, we have the fortune-telling girl who was speaking truth, and he cast the demon out of her, meaning even demons can speak truth, but it doesn't make it okay. We have the account of people coming to the Lord and immediately bringing all of their magic books and such to be burned. In Acts 19:18-19, it says, "Many also of those who had believed kept coming, confessing and disclosing their practices. And many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." That's a lot of money right there. It's a lot of money to burn. "But these people knew upon conversion that they were doing what was opposed to Christianity. So why do Christians excuse them?" And I'm not saying if you celebrate Halloween, you're excusing witchcraft mostly. But I know so many who excuse it. How do so many Christians say, "Well, it's just a little cute witch"? Why is it okay to call good bad and bad good? It's not a cute little witch. It's a object of abomination. Or promote to our children that it's acceptable. Maybe this is part of why we're seeing such a huge uptick in Wicca and New Age practices, as well as people saying that they can be both witch and Christian. So many New Agers, they say they're Christian, but they don't know what that means. Maybe this kind of compromise in the church is a major contributor to such things. At what point is it not a cute witch? how do we teach our children that God says not to do these things and then buy them Harry Potter books? I'm not saying that people who do these things can't be saved. However, I believe they're dangerous. They compromise truth and they should be avoided. I'm against Halloween as a whole. I'm not against my brothers and sisters who choose to take part in it. I will continue to voice my heartfelt opposition, though. I refuse to take part in it myself, but that is my own convictions, and this is where I'm coming from when I say that, why I say that. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 and 23 says, "Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The KJV says, "Abstain from all appearances of evil." 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 17 says, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteous and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light and darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore, come out of their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you." In talking about this, I really wanted to make sure that I was accurately portraying the issues at hand. So I decided that I wanted to talk to someone who I absolutely love and knew these things in a different light than myself. I looked at Wicca sites. I looked at sites talking about Satanism and historical sites. I also had the privilege to talk to my little sister. My sister Addie, which I got her permission to share this, considers herself a non-theistic pagan, which she says is closely related to Celtic traditional practices and indigenous Native American practices. She grew up in a Christian household and therefore understands a great deal of Christianity. With a worldview that is based in paganism and understanding the topic in that sense, I thought it would be great to ask her some questions and add them to this podcast. This is the question and answers that we got. Addie says she has been an openly active pagan since she was 18. She has taken part in many practices and rituals, largely contributing to pagans such as astrology readings, palm readings, and the like. She managed a store for some time that was a store for pagan merchandise and was a place for the community to come together to perform rituals and activities. I asked her some questions, and I'm going to provide these and the answers she gave me. I'm not saying that everyone with a similar worldview would agree, just that this is what she believes, and I value her opinion, and I love to be able to add this in as somebody who knows that side better than I do. Question 1. As a spiritual person, understanding both Christianity to a point and non-theistic paganism, do you feel that Christians should or should not celebrate Halloween? She said that as a whole, she doesn't see a great connection between Halloween and Samhain, but if they do, they should recognize that it is based in paganism. She said it was an attempt in the beginning to blend cultures. I think this is related to another statement she made later, and I think that's important to put it here, because she said that because the heads of Christianity and a large portion of Christians in general want Christianity to be the worldwide religion in an attempt to not be closed out from society and further their religion, is making things okay that in their own ideology don't believe is okay. They're opening their doors to things that aren't of them, i.e. Hinduism and paganism. They're bringing traditions in that the world is comfortable with in order to teach them, and are adopting and adapting things that wouldn't naturally be accepted. She said it's an attempt to make witchcraft Christian. And as a pagan, when she dresses up and wears a costume to celebrate Halloween, it isn't the same as the way she celebrates Samhain. To her, it's just fun and tradition. She celebrates Samhain differently, in more of a traditional manner, as we talked about earlier. I asked if she would consider that day to be a day for divination, and she said yes, speaking of divination as ritualistic magic. She was asked if she thinks October 31st is a day to celebrate Western witchcraft and paganism, and she said yes. She said that although Samhain would absolutely be in conflict with historical Christianity, she didn't see a problem with Halloween. To her, there's a distinction between the two as separate, therefore there is no conflict if anyone celebrated Halloween. And to her point, I believe that if Halloween was celebrated in a way that was completely void of all things pagan, I probably wouldn't have a problem with it the way that I do. But you can't decide that for yourself. There's more I can say on this matter, but for time's sake, I won't. I believe that Halloween was never meant for a Christian to partake in. The Puritans, when confronted with Halloween, said it was pagan and should not be celebrated. I really see why. I believe that origin matters and that you cannot sanctify that which was made to honor the devil. God doesn't want to be worshipped the way pagans worship demons, and he condemns so much of what Halloween is known for, and he also doesn't want us to partake in the events, even if we don't think we are celebrating the devil. We shouldn't partake in the things that we're made to. This isn't something that the occult corrupted. This started out not as All Saints Day, but as a day to worship the dead, a day to sacrifice to them, a day to leave offerings for them and honor them. Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their own dead." That's pretty profound. You can see the deepness when you look at the dead and dying, the lost souls who worship the creation and not the Creator, the ones who draw their power from anything but God. I hope you were able to hang in there with me, and though I know many of you will absolutely not agree with what I'm saying, all I can say is get in your Bibles, and I'm not saying that you have to agree with me. I just would like you to know where I'm coming from. Dig in. See what God says about these things prayerfully. You know, be willing to give up the things that you love for him, because we are to love him more than anything else. I don't believe I'm always right on everything or that I know all the things. However, it's spelled out pretty clearly in the Bible that a lot of the things that Halloween is known for is abominations to God, and we just have to choose in ourselves whether we are willing to not partake in it, or we are willing to what I would feel would be a compromise and partake in it. But I love you guys, and no condemnation here. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I feel very strongly about this. I hope that this edifies you in some way. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much, Lord. Help us to have wisdom and discernment to know what you want us to do, what is good and right and holy. Help us to feel your direction as you teach us through your word, as we read it and we study it with an open heart to you, Lord. Study all of it and not just the places that make us feel good. We're so very grateful for you and your guidance. Help us to not need a bit in our mouths in order for you to steer us. I know there's so many times I feel like I need a bit and I am not being guided as I should. Thank you for being our hope and our peace, Lord. We love you so much. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.